Welcome to the U-Turn Podcast. This is the place to connect to who you truly are. We're bringing PhDs, experts, and leaders to help you elevate your mindset in your work life and in your love life so that you can see things differently and truly love your world. I'm Ashley Stahl. I'm a career expert, author, and TEDx speechwriter and booker, and I'm excited to bring you in to this week's episode. Okay, friends, I'm bringing Jamie Ray onto the show, who's been on the show a bazillion times because he's freaking brilliant. He's a spiritual teacher, expert on relationships. And I just hit record because we were talking about life transitions and crazy energy in the world right now. And you were just asking me, Jamie, I just moved back to LA. I did, because I got out of a relationship.
And it's funny because you're wearing a Los Angeles sweater. So it was,
I know, like, I've really come back hard.
You're just fucking owning it. So how's that been for you moving back?
Yeah. So weird. It's like you can't be, I feel like this is life, and I feel like you could jam on me with this, is like,
yeah,
you have an idea of what a certain place is for you. And like, it's not that I would identify as a wildly nostalgic person, because I think nostalgia in a lot of ways is kind of like unprocessed grief, you know?
Right.
But I kind of, LA hasn't been the same as it was before the pandemic. It's a lot quieter. There's a lot more people who are homeless and mentally ill, which is really hard to see because my sister was homeless and mentally ill. So I see them and I'm like, oh my, and I'm scared. Like it's not safe sometimes, you know?
Right.
And so that's been heartbreaking. And also friends are in a different phase. Like I'm 36 and it's almost like I popped out of the pandemic, and with it, a bunch of babies popped out of everybody's vag. And I love the babies. Like, they're so cute. Like, my best friend, Sarah, she has this little girl named Emily, who's like my little heart.
Right.
And everybody's in a different era. It feels so wild and just so, I don't know. It's like there's no warning in life when chapters change, and it feels so abrasive when you have an idea. So on one side, I'm loving being back in LA because it's home. And then on the other side, I'm like, this place isn't the place I left. And then I'm like, am I different, or is it different, or is everybody different? So yeah, I'm hanging out with people that I absolutely love. They're on the periphery of the group that I used to hang out with, and they're resonating more. And I'm like, are they resonating more? Because I just didn't notice how magical they are.
Right.
But I'm just in a lot of like energy questions. I don't know if you're going through anything like this.
So first up, I think everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you say, moving to LA, as you're just talking about it, you know, it's kind of this idea of, I think spirit makes sure whenever our ego gets in the way, it's like we're about to fuck shit up. Mm-hmm. As soon as your ego, and you know, ego, you could think of expectations of maybe what are, like, what should things look like? What is going to happen? And we have these kind of preconceived notions. Whenever that happens, spirit kind of intervenes and be like, I'm going to come in and fuck shit up for a while.
Yeah.
And move you into this space of having to absolutely surrender to be in presence without expectations, right? Yeah. So if you think about, we have to be in this space, we can't have expectations. We have to allow everything to unfold. Yeah. We have to just allow this sort of slow untethering and unfolding. And I think as you're talking about that, that's kind of what came up for me of this idea of, we have to fully get our ego out of the way and be like, what's this going to be presented to me? And it's probably going to look different than I thought it was going to look, but the energy is going to be more closely aligned to what I've always wanted to feel. And almost kind of moving to LA, it's this transitory space where you kind of, you're almost between worlds, right? A little bit between worlds, even energetically. And I think that's what's happening. I mean, even, I don't know much about it, but you know, the solar eclipse, the lunar eclipse, we're kind of in between. So we're in this transitory phase of one energetic realm to the next. And that is happening at such potent levels inside of people. That it's really hard to work. And in a way, it's going from like ego to essence. It's going from karma to the divine. It's going from what should things look like to actually allowing things to be as they're supposed to be. And I think this is happening at a fucking global level and inside of anyone who is sensitive to energy and is even just somewhat attuned, you know?
Yeah, that's what I want to ask you about, is like, when you say the energy shift, it's like, what do you think it's shifting from A to B? What would you say the shift is that you're feeling and even seeing with clients? Because you're helping so many people in their transformation too.
So we're shifting to the new earth. That's exactly, we're going from old earth to new earth. And so what's happening is, at a global level, we're trying to upgrade consciousness. And how do we upgrade consciousness? We have to first, it has to be unveiled through the unconscious. What's happening is everyone's unconscious or subconscious is being surfaced and revealed at such quantum layers and levels that we can't even comprehend what's going on. Because that's what happens in healing. It's kind of like being in this twilight space where I can't even see from my mind or from consciousness of what the fuck is happening. We have no idea what's happening. And it's because something greater beyond our comprehension is trying to break through. And so people might be asked, Jamie, what the fuck is the new earth? It's Christ consciousness. It's sort of like a holy frequency. And basically the people that are going to be left behind in the old earth are people that aren't kind of working with every layer of karma in their body. We're talking about past life. We're talking about ancestral. We're talking about just our own stuff. So the people that aren't looking at every single aspect are going to kind of be stuck in this old energetic world, where this new energetic world that's coming through and breaking through, like new earth, the people that are able to surrender and allow this sort of Christ consciousness to be downloaded are going to move into this new energetic space.
I love this so much. And one thing we were talking about before I hit the record button was energetic boundaries.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know what meaning you make of it. For me, being in Los Angeles, sometimes we go to parties and there's like cuddle puddles and I feel like there's leaky energy on me. I don't sleep when there's people that might be like leaking sexual energy onto me that I didn't ask for or that I didn't show that I'm interested in. And I don't know if this is just the spiritual community or, you know, I don't know, but it's something that I've noticed. So can we talk a little bit about clean energy when it comes to being with each other, especially in relationship or in dating ship? Any of the ships.
Situationship.
The situationship.
Yeah. You know, that's a huge thing. And I'll even relate it to gurus, right? Think about all these gurus. What do these gurus do? These gurus like fuck kind of their disciples or the people that kind of work under them. And so why is that happening? And basically it's an immature sacral chakra. It's an undeveloped sacral chakra. So what it means is that we're responding from the little boy or the little girl in terms of our sacral chakra, right? Sacral chakra, it's located just right below our belly button, wants to move into our womb or into our cock. And the sacral chakra, when we move into to sort of a higher frequency with that chakra, we're going to be able to merge our sexual energy with the heart and the higher self. We're going to be able to merge and connect our sexual energy to the heart, which is connection, to the higher self, which is integrity of source, right? Basically, when people have a lot of leaky sexual energy, it means they're responding from some aspect of ego, validation, approval. What is it that I get? What is it I get in this exchange? They get sort of some sort of little boy, little girl gets approval or validation in some sort of way.
Is it just physical pleasure? Is it feeling like wanted? Is it feeling connected, even though it's not coming from the heart? You know, those hugs that last too long, especially as a woman or someone who identifies as a woman with a man. I feel like sometimes I get that hug that like they rub my back a little weird or something. Right. It's too long.
Completely. So for example, when guys do that, it's because they have so many entrenched feminine cords in their body. So when I say feminine cords, what it means is that men haven't worked through their anger to the feminine. And so when a guy works through his anger to the feminine, what's going to happen is all these feminine cords that are kind of holding this body are going to kind of become unattached. And now they're going to descend down into his body. They're going to, you know, move into his lower chakra. So they're going to move into his root chakra and his sacral chakra. Now what happens as he kind of untethers those cords, he finally begins to learn boundaries. He begins to learn how to be boundary with the feminine. That works for me. That doesn't work for me. You know, you can't say that to me. And in turn, he becomes more responsible for his energy. He begins to become accountable and intentional for his energy. So why do people leak sexual energy? It's because they don't have boundaries.
So tell me about leaking sexual energy and the tie of being angry at the feminine. When you say the feminine, is it gender related? Is it energy related? Let's look at that because that's interesting. Like I've had some exes where I go to an event and they're there and it's, dude, this ended. Why are you like hugging me like this? It's so weird. Make it stop. So is it, I would never think, oh, he's angry at the feminine. What does that mean for everyone listening? Because I think that's really interesting.
Right. So there's two parts to it, right? So if a guy's, and when I talk about feminine energy, I guess in this example, I am talking for a man in his dealings with women, right? And obviously feminine energy is not, you know, exclusive to gender, but in this case, that is how I'm speaking to it. But so it would be a guy dealing with his stuff with his mom and also the maternal ancestors. So it's also looking on the women in his line as well as his mom. And also it's the exchange between feminine and masculine energy, which you have to look at. What was the connection like with your mom and dad? What was the connection like with your paternal and maternal ancestors? What did the women in your line have to go through? You know, did the women in your line trust the masculine? But so a guy has to look at both the ancestral line and his dealings with his mom, right? Okay. And so it's basically integrating and processing all his unresolved feelings with feminine energy in his life.
I love that. That's interesting. Yeah. Can you give an example of, let's say, the person that identifies as a man, his name is Joe.
Yeah.
And Joe is got some unresolved shit with the feminine, and he's given leaky ass hugs all over the party. And everybody's feeling a little like they need like a helmet for these hugs, you know?
Completely. You know, guys leak sexual energy because they've never touched their rage and they've never integrated their rage in a healthy way. That's why
you would say it's like an aggressive thing to do, to leak sexual energy. It's like an aggression in a way.
I would say they're acting through it in some sort of unconscious way. And yeah, this is why men need to touch like that primal energy, which is like a fucking rage. How does a man touch his rage? He needs to be able to work with boundaries. He needs to look at all the ways that his ego has been involved in his dealings with women, all the ways that he has used women for approval and validation, and all the ways that he's allowed himself to be used by the egos of women. And in that, when he starts to be that intentional with his energy, what's going to happen is he's going to touch boundaries at a primal level. He is going to kind of meet, you know, you could call it the dark masculine. He's going to touch that sort of primal edge, which means he's really beginning to root down in his lower chakras, which is his root and his sacral. In doing so, now he, with that power, he no longer operates through that energy unconsciously, because he's learning how to hold this powerful energy, right? So it's basically men that don't know how to hold their power in a way that they can merge it with the higher frequency, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever men are leaking sexual energy, it basically means they don't know how to hold their power. They're not able to hold their power in their body to connect it with their heart and a higher level of integrity. Let's talk about the God-like or holy frequency of integrity. And this is what makes these men dangerous. This is what makes these men out of integrity. This is what leads to these men not being able to love women. This is why men don't have reverence for the feminine.
This is so good. Okay, so you talk a lot in your work around, you know, feminine and masculine. I feel like I could do a gazillion episodes about the women in my life who are working their ass off and burnt out because they're applying all this masculine pursuit energy and not enough in the being and the manifesting and the attracting. But I want to ask you a little bit about sacred union, because I feel like this really props us up and it's such a good topic. We hear, and people who are listening that maybe haven't read the like spiritual books, we hear about this term sacred union. So can we take back from what does the sacred union mean so that we're not so pie in the sky? Let's bring it back. And then also, which is one of the things I love about you, is you can keep it real too. So take me into the realness of what are we talking about when we say sacred union? And what does that really look like for the divine feminine and divine masculine energies?
Completely. And, you know, I think I'm a little desensitized because I use that word and some people are probably like, what the fuck does that mean? Like that, because it might be so woo-woo to an outsider where I'm just like, oh, yeah, sacred union, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so sacred union, I kind of see it as the holy trinity of relationships. You know, anyone who's going down even somewhat of a spiritual path is, I want my king or my queen. And so it's kind of this highest concept, sacred union. So the way that I think of sacred union, it's actually where the relationship moves through source. So meaning that, you know, for example, let's say a Christian relationship, right? Say you're in a Christian relationship. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about Christian relationships. But there's a triangle between those two people, and Jesus is in the middle. I actually wrote a movie about this because I dated a born again Christian years ago.
Of course you did. Of course. Yeah,
rom-com about a love triangle with this girl and Jesus. But so that's kind of like a triangle, right? So that basically means there's two people and their source. But in like sacred union, it's kind of that concept of a triangle, but it's source, or God is like an energy, right? And so it basically means that we move our energy through source first. Right. So sacred union, there's an amplification in your relationship to source. Okay. What does that mean for two people? It means that a woman is in her divine feminine and a man is in his divine masculine, but they've actually healed both energies inside of themselves. Right. So let's say for me, example, my source essence is masculine. Right. But I also have feminine energy, of course. So it's about having a healthy balance of both energies and of healing and course correcting my karma with the feminine, as well as healing and course correcting my karma and wounds with the masculine, while being in more of my primal divine masculine energy. And now what happens is I heal those, and in order to heal those is about all our own trauma, as well as all the ancestral energy that we've been holding in our body, as well as all our past life karma. And we have to move through all of this karma to now move in a receptive, give and exchange relationship with source, meaning that I'm able to now hold a code. So as a divine masculine, when I move from karma to the divine, just within myself as a sovereign being, I'm able to now download a code that I'm able to hold in my body to now, when I meet a divine feminine partner, I'm able to give her this code, which is going to unlock a portal for her. And the same is going to be happening in the other direction. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of this concept. I basically relate it, and I'm going to be bringing out a program at some point called the Cathedral, which is basically the process of inner divine union of like, how do you do that work as a solo individual to kind of receive your code that you need as a divine masculine or divine feminine.
I want to ask you about that. What is the ancestral lineage? Because some people listening are going to be like, my ancestors, they're all dead, which I mean, obviously they're going to say it much more classily than I just said it. I don't even know if that's right. A word, but I do know my dad, we have family that died in the Holocaust. My dad's side is Jewish. My mom's side is Christian. None of us are really religious, and I think that there's this survival energy in the cells of Holocaust surviving lineages of people who, you know, this is going to be so meta, bear with me, but it's like my grandma was holding my mom and my mom was holding me. So it's like my grandma was holding every egg in our lineage in her body that became the women in our family or the men. And so it's interesting. It's like these little eggs that my grandma was holding, they were subjected to all these different things with the Holocaust. And I'm guessing that the cells in these eggs, whichever one becomes the chosen egg that gets fertilized and becomes a baby, it carries some of these traumatic feelings in it. So that's how I think of ancestral lineage trauma. But can you explain that and also talk a little bit about codes? Because I feel like that's such a cool term. I also feel like people don't all get what that means.
Yeah. You know, the way that I kind of talk about ancestral energy is that we have our nervous system holds kind of a somatic blueprint that we inherit from our ancestors. Think about our nervous system, right? We come into the world with a nervous system, or maybe our survival blueprint, which is going to be inherited at some level from the generations that came before, right? It's going to be inherited and passed down through a few different generations. So what happens is our nervous system, our survival sort of blueprint that we're holding is going to be tied to our parents, to our grandparents, to our great grandparents. And it's going to be passed down through our nervous system, right? And so in order to, let's say, heal ancestral energy, we need to heal our nervous system. We need to move at a very simple, basic level from survival into thriving. Mm-hmm. But the way that I related in my work, and apologize to people if this sounds woo, but what happens is we have an ancestral or genetic halo that lives energetically above our head. So if you can imagine the space above your head, that's where our crown chakra is. That's our connection to the divine. And we have this ancestral halo above our head that is kind of waiting to descend down into the body. But it's waiting until the conditions in the body align for this ancestral energy to descend into the body. And so what does it mean the conditions must align? There has to be a certain level of safety that we've created in our body where all of a sudden our ancestors are like, ooh, he's ready or she's ready. And now this energy enters through the crown. So like I was talking about all this, you know, coming to the call today, how my crown chakra is going crazy. It's basically like you're being dumped. You're being dumped ancestral energy into your head, which is now being asked to descend and move down your body to be released back into the earth where they belong. So you're being asked to bury your ancestors. So energetically, so people maybe they can have a picture of this in their mind or imagination, is we have an energetic halo above our head. Our body's in survival. You know, we have anxiety. We are shut down. We have a hard time feeling our emotions. We begin to do some healing work. You know, we begin to kind of work with the nervous system. All of a sudden, the crown starts to open by way of energy starts to press down into the top of our head and move down into the body. And now what's happening is we're accessing the lineage energy. We're accessing the lineage energy. And now it has to move and descend down our body to now be released back into the earth. Yeah. And so when I talk about codes, because you mentioned that, what is a code? You have to bury your ancestors in order to be delivered your code from the divine.
So this reminds me of this whole idea, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It's like taking the apple and being like, that was then, this thing in me, and this is now. So all this lineage of, because these beliefs are passed down, right? Like I come from a family of money. If you actually look at my family tree and I'm one of them, we all made and lost a ton of money, like each person on my dad's side. I am healing that. I am learning how to be different. And it's not about money, right? That's so in the muggle world. It's about behavior. It's about beliefs. It's about worthiness. It's about anxiety management. It's about managing my emotions because, you know, a lot of people overspend or couldn't hold on to it or whatever. So it's like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I'm looking at, okay, I'm going to throw that apple over there and put them back into the earth. Yeah. And I'm going to look at what tree I want to grow with my life and myself. So I love what you're saying. And I feel like you're talking a lot about going from survival to like thrival.
Completely. And if I could summarize it all in one word for you, you know, we're scarcity, all these things you were talking about. In one word, it's fear.
Yeah.
In one word, it's fear. Right. And so when we're operating in fear, we can't be in the energetics of allowing. When no matter how much fear, it might be even a smidgen of fear, we can't be in a full receptive relationship to, let's say, a godly or a holy energy. So what's happening is we're trying to purge and excavate all the fears, all the survival trauma, the survival energy of the lineages that came before so that we can become a divine being. So what the fuck is a divine being? It means someone who literally doesn't have fear, literally is here in presence in kind of an open space, and they don't need anything external to rely on. Now what's happening is they begin to make art with their body, right? You begin to stand on your own. I call this the energetic island. Where if you can imagine, I take clients through this somatically, but imagine you're on like an energetic island, right? Where it's just you and your ancestors on the other side of the water. And they're kind of looking at you and you're glowing. You're completely glowing. And you kind of see the faces on your ancestors that are kind of giving you permission. And in a way, it's fucked your ancestors. And I know that's you got to be like, fuck your ancestors in order to honor your ancestors. Which means you got to tell those motherfucking ancestors, you got to go, bitch. It's time for you to go because, and when we talk about codes, so actually, what does a code mean? It means me, Jamie Ray, what is my divine dharmic purpose on this earth without the influence at any system, energetic level of the ancestors? What am I here, Jamie, as a spirit being? What am I here to be of service to the world? And we can't do that when we're holding on to the ancestors.
I love this so much. Okay, so I think what happens as a result of this is we have new codes, right? Like we have new ways of being. I want to talk to you a little bit about fear, like masculine, feminine. So this is personal. Like,
yeah,
I have had a pattern, and I don't know if this is like lineage work for me, but
yeah,
of picking partners who don't have time for me. That was why my last relationship ended. Great guy. Loved him a lot.
Right.
He really was in an era where he did not have time. Why my vag feels a yes for that.
Yeah.
It's beyond me, but it leans into it. And so I've been working with this. I've been working on it. What's manifesting for me now in making new choices is I'm picking people that I would say are not showing that pattern for me.
Right.
But I feel this residual fear of trusting a man or, you know, a partner to show up for me and to make space for me. So I think a lot of people, you know, maybe they're in their marriage and they're listening right now thinking to themselves, like, I've been married for 5 years, but I don't really feel like my partner shows up for me.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're dating. And for example, I went out with this lovely guy who's 6 months out of a divorce. And I'm like, okay, is he over it enough to show up for me? I don't know. I just would love anything you could share around people, especially, you know, women, men, just feeling fear that the other person won't show up. What is going on within them that is keeping that anxiety alive? And how can we shift that?
Yeah. So I love to just cut right through to just really simplify it. And this is going to be a broad thing and not an easy thing to do. But so everything you're talking about, it's one thing. It's one thing. It's fear of our own power. That's fear of our own power. That's the number one thing that we're afraid of. We're not afraid of success. We're not afraid of getting everything. We're not afraid of failure. You know, like we're not afraid of that. We're afraid of getting everything that we've ever wanted. Mm. But the thing is, how do we break that down? So it's one thing is, what does Ashley, you in your most primal feminine power, what does that fucking feel like energetically?
Like, oh my gosh.
What is that at like an energetic level?
That's a time. That's a really fun time.
Yeah. And so we have to learn how to hold that energy in our body and be so fucking boundaried with that energy. So for me, it's okay. What would my fear, my powers, what's my energy like when I'm in this primal warrior type masculine energy?
Mm.
What is that energy like for me in my body?
Mm.
And how do I hold that with a regulated nervous system?
Mm. So it's almost getting curious. Okay, I have this fear. What am I? How does it feel when I'm not in it? How do I create that reference point?
Completely. So it's about working with the nervous system in conjunction with energetic capacity.
Mm.
So it's about how much energy your system is capable of holding. And if I could lay out more of maybe a practical way. So, okay, this is great, Jamie. This is some higher concept stuff. How do we kind of begin to access? It's going back to the ego. So it'd be you, Ashley. It'd be like looking at all the ways that your ego is involved with masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
All the ways when you deal with men, all the ways that your ego is involved. And there's two parts to it.
Mm.
There's going to be both internal and external boundaries.
Mm.
So it's going to be looking at, how do I allow men to move into my space, to move beyond my boundaries, some element of their own ego? And how do I, Ashley, exceed my own internal energetic boundaries, which are the ways that you leak energy, which are the ways that your ego, approval, validation, get some sort of payoff from moving beyond your own container, right? So that's going to be looking at our little boy or little girl, all the way, you know, that's codependency. It's going to be looking at all the ways that we feel we need to fight for love, that we feel that we need to move beyond our own space and our own container to be worthy for love. So it's a worthiness thing, right? When it comes down to it, it's like we don't feel worthy to be in our highest frequency of energetic power. So we have to learn to hold our power without sabotage. That's when the king or queen that we want, that's all we're going to see in front of us. That's all that's going to fucking be in our space.
that's wild. Like, how, like, A, creating a reference point, and B, figuring out, like, where am I leaky and manipulating this? There's this fear. So it's almost like just going inward as per usual. And we talk about clean energy. I love this phrase. And it's, I feel like that's what it is. It's looking at, oh, I've got this tremble in me, and it's showing up in how I'm approaching these people. And it's about them, instead of saying, you know what? This is about me. Why don't I trust? And why can't I lean in? And what is going on in me that's manipulating a situation? What are all these behaviors? Okay, so I love this a lot. I feel like you talk a lot about karmic disentanglement. And I feel like there's probably some ancestral stuff there. Is there anything we've missed on that we can talk about before I ask you a bajillion more questions?
So, yeah, because we were kind of talking about karmic entanglements. And I'm hopefully going to be doing a workshop on this at the end of November. But basically, okay, how do we prepare for sacred union, divine union? You know, for a man or woman or whatever, we're like, okay, I want to step into this kingdom, be all to end all relationship, right? Often what happens, particularly with, I'd say, people that have spiritual gifts that have access to a lot of energy, right? We usually have a karmic relationship. In more of the psychological community, they'd probably call it a trauma bond. That's probably what they would call it. But in more of a spiritual sense, you know, it could be that we were lovers in a past life, or we had some sort of contract in a past life, or our ancestral energy merges. Essentially, it means we have a really big soul relationship. We have a really big soul relationship, but we're not able to ground the play, the practicality of this relationship on the earthly soil. So it's a big soul relationship that can never quite find its footing. And so typically, as we kind of are doing the preparation work for sacred union, we're going to have a lot of these karmic contracts that are coming in. And so, and that's why I think there was a lot of people moving into twin flames around the time of the pandemic, right? Because there's a big global shift happening, old earth to new earth. It also means karma to the divine. What is karma? Karma is divine energy that is stuck in stagnation. That's what karma is. So karma, think of God trapped in a cage. That's what karma is. Gee. And so it's like, how do we release karma? How do we get it to move? So typically what happens, and this is why people have illness and injury as they go through these awakenings and spiritual initiations, because what's happening is that at a higher level, the conditions are being recreated so that we can experience something in the karmic field in order to now move it through, to now step into the energy, to allow that godly energy to finally move. That's where everything begins to happen. And so that's why it's really confusing and disorienting, because we don't know what's happening, because the karmic field is being activated in the body and we're in session for it. We have no conscious understanding, because our body's working at a higher level of consciousness than we can rationally comprehend from the ego. And so this is what's happening in sort of karmic relationships, is there's the karmic field is being recreated so that we can essentially process this wound through our body to heal it and finally break the pattern.
Okay, this is really interesting. I know that a lot of people talk about polarity.
Yeah.
And you kind of have mentioned that, like, a lot of what's being out there is kind of bullshit. I would love to get your take on, I feel like this is endlessly on people's mind, right? Like, you saw couples break up in the pandemic, and it feels like this is a topic. It's like, at a certain point, look at us. We're both wearing matching gray sweats right now, Jamie. Like, this is what it is. We're in our sweats. I'm like burping, you know, athletic greens, and I
love it.
Just talking to you about karmic entanglements. And I have a face peel on. So it's like, how do we keep that spark that happens when you have polarity online?
Yeah. So it's, and the reason why I said, you know, polarity, like most polarity teachers are kind of fucking talking out their ass, is like, what I mean is, because it's great that, oh, I want him to lead and be directional and make all these fucking decisions. And that's great. That's great, but it's okay. Like, how does someone do that? Unfortunately, bad news bears, the shitty part of it is we have to completely recalibrate our entire nervous system. That is the pathway, right? So it's okay. You can talk about all this sexy shit, which I call like the glittery sparkles. It's like everyone, that's why everyone loves like topics of relationships and polarity, because it's sexy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fucking just, that's sexy. Let me oil myself up and just enjoy enjoy this polarity talk. But they don't actually want to know. The process is a bucket of shit of how you actually get there. You have to meet hell to find your heaven. That's what religious people have all fucking bent backwards. The only way you ever know heaven is through hell. And so that's why you have to fucking be initiated. Why is a man not in his masculine? Because the fucker has never been initiated. He has never gone through a rite of passage. It's in order to, like, how do we go into polarity so I can call my king or queen from the masculine end of it, and also from the female's end of it, in or the feminine energy in her own way, is you have to meet hell. You have to have everything that's gnarly in your system be recreated.
Does it really have to suck to feel good? Can't we just figure it out and have a nice way to do it? Like, why does it have to be so brutal?
You know, that's fine. And that's why we got to ask ourselves the question. And we don't have to, but we can only expect a relationship that's going to mirror the preparatory work that we've had to do. And that's why I think most people, when they really realize what happens, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, okay, you got to find a partner that probably won't take you to God. You're probably going to be a relationship that's going to be somewhat more closer to the surface. And that's fine. But oftentimes, I'll say this, what happens with people who have a spiritual calling, and let's face it, the feminine is the oracle. You know, the feminine, you know, is, you know, able to access so much energy, right? So her soul is so vast that she has such an infinite access to the field, right? And so oftentimes with spiritual people, we just get initiated. I always say to people, I didn't go and seek God. God came and seeked me out. I was playing hard to get. I'm like, God, you can't touch my dick. Like, back off. And God was like, Jamie, bring me your dick. You know, I refused it. I was like, I just want to go do comedy. I just want to go do comedy and make movies. But then all of a sudden I was in the hospital with compressed discs in my back.
And I
went on this shamanic journey and I didn't have a choice. And so oftentimes at some level, people who have access to a lot of energy or spiritual people, there's probably a lot of people listening to this who are spiritual and have access to a lot of energy. We don't really have a choice. We get initiated. It doesn't mean you're going to be in the hospital for some illness or something, but it means you're going to be initiated at some level. And it's kind of God saying to you, hey, it's time for you to descend in order to ascend, right? That's the thing, is we can't move into ascension without a descent first.
Right.
We have to descend.
Right. Oh my gosh. I literally just want to keep you on this. I mean, this is why I keep bringing you back and hope, you know, obviously I can't tiptoe on this show. I feel like you and I are pretty crude and real with what we think. And I just want to tell everybody, this is what we freaking think. Think what you want to think. Take what you want to take from this. There's always something to take from everything. I want to ask you before we go about codependency, about what it really looks like. Like, for example, I have a client who feels like she had to force her partner to propose to her. You know, just anything around codependency that you can help people start to see in their relationships.
Yeah. So codependency is fear. Codependency is fear, and it's stuck, stored survival trauma that's entrenched in our nervous system. And so think about this idea of, say you want your partner to propose. Let's use that example. You're probably beginning to feel some level of anxiety in her system. You know, fears start coming up of, oh, what happens if I'm going to be all alone? What happens if it doesn't work out? What happened? You know, just this big cyclical pattern of fear start coming in, right? So we're responding from some level of dysregulation in the system. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, most people are just walking around the world with dysregulated nervous systems, so they don't even understand this is happening. It's just like the default, right? There's no awareness around. And so in codependent relationships, we're responding through dysregulation. And if I could really, okay, how do we break that down? How do we heal codependency? You need to learn to feel your own energy in the world when you can't feel anyone but yourself.
Oof, that's so succinct. Whenever I talk about codependency, I talk about how people like contort themselves to prevent other people from feeling something. But can you say it again? What did you say?
It's when you feel your energetic power in your body, you can't feel the energetic imprint of anyone else around you. That is the succinct version of how you heal codependency. What does that mean? Past life, ancestral, your parents, everything. That you feel your own energy, you're standing on your own energetic island. Because think about it. It's all these karmic cords that the body's holding on to kind of break the fall. What happens when I can only feel my energy? It's like now I'm in this vast abyss of nothingness, of the unknown. Mm-hmm. I can't feel anything but myself. What happens? That's when people start to freak out. That's when people, they're responding through cords and tethers in the body that are holding on, that are somehow trying to break the fall of what happens when we move into that space. And so when we move into a space of initiation or divine embodiment, we're essentially healing codependency, because mm-hmm. we're essentially purging and excavating every single layer and cord and tether of fear in the body so that we can feel our own energy without fear. But the thing that happens when we heal it is we're in this nothingness abyss, but we've never felt more connected in our entire life. And that's that's where our entire life begins to change. That's where the level of abundance that we will begin to experience will literally make us start to tremble.
Oof. That is some really good stuff. And I feel like I'm on the precipice of a lot of this growth that you're talking about, because everything has been happening for me in such a flow state lately. I feel like I'm just attracting so many things. Like I say, I want something and then it comes right on over to me.
Right.
And I feel like that's something I want to talk about before we go also. Just if you're listening to this conversation and wondering, where am I at on the scale of all this stuff? How codependent am I? Or you know, how much am I manipulating and in fear? It's just look at your results. Look at what's going on in your love life. Look at what's going on with your career. Let's look at what's going on with your money. Yeah. Look at what results you're having. What results do you want to be having? And what is going on with you that keeps you from that, showing you your limits? Right. And where does that tie back to your upbringing, the messages you received and bought into, the experiences your lineage has had?
Right.
This is like such a deep dive. Can you talk a little bit about how people can work with you, where they can find you? I know you have workshops. I don't even know when this will air, but we'll try and air it timely if you have something to
So I did want to speak just one thing you were talking about there. And the question is, okay, where am I on the scale of codependence? So there's going to be no greater reflection than who's showing up in your field.
Ooh.
And so say you're a single woman, pay attention to the energy of the men that are showing up in your field. They'll reveal to you where you're at. What will happen is there'll be sort of this alchemical sort of organic process that's taking place. And as you're talking about where you're at, I feel like you're kind of, you're shifting realms. You're like in kind of this twilight zone shifting frequencies right now. And that's probably why LA feels a little like disorienting a little bit. Like what's kind of happening here, right? Because we're shifting. We're in a portal, right? We're shifting. And so there's going to be no greater representation than what kind of energy we're showing up in our field. And when we have really clean energy, when we're really fucking boundaried, when we recognize all the ways that our ego has intervened, we're going to start revealing more of how we want to feel coming into our space. So if we're a divine masculine man, we're going to experience more deeper, stronger feminine polarity. So what's going to happen is our poles are kind of rearranging. And so there's this sort of organic process. So look at who's coming into your field. That's how we can really mark what's beginning to shake and move internally. And if we're beginning to, holy shit, look who's showing up in my field, we know that we're in a karmic break, because things that are showing up in the field are foreign. They're like, how am I having this type of energy in my space? Mm-hmm. It's because your energy is constantly a magnet for what it calls, that's how manifestation happens, right? And that's where our world begins to change, because internally, at a cellular DNA level, we have literally shifted. We have fully fucking changed. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, how I work in my process is I just run experiments all the time. I'm like, I'm looking and adapting to what's in my field. And so the way that I work is I don't read any content in this space. I don't consume any content. I just make art with my body. That's all I do. I'm just like, how do I make art with the universe? And I kind of learn how these pathways are built. And so coming into, how do people work with me? So again, Ashley, I'm not sure when you're going to be airing this, but I have a workshop that I'm going to be, I haven't announced it yet, but I will in the next week. That's going to be untethering from karmic spiritual relationships that I'm going to be running 2 hours online. So that's going to be for people that are, you know, trying to move away from this relationship that essentially feels like an attachment rupture, right? Because think of those relationships that almost feel like we're like trying to get over a drug. It's like we're trying to heal like an opiate addiction or something because what we're experiencing is an early attachment rupture. So what we're actually doing is we're experiencing a break in the attachment system so we can actually heal our attachment trauma. That's what's happening in a karmic spiritual relationship. That's when tethering and disentangling from karmic relationships are so difficult. So I'm going to be doing like a transformational experience for people online.
Where's your Instagram for them to DM you?
Yeah, people could check me out on Instagram, Jamie, J-A-M-I-E dot N dot Ray, R-E-A is my handle. And my website is going to be, it's just getting relaunched and revamped. And that would be jamienray.com. So that's where people can find me.
Thank you so much.
You're the best.
You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning into the U-Turn podcast. And thank you again so much for our sponsors. We are here because of you. And to our listeners, thank you for checking out our sponsors. We always pick people and brands that we trust and we believe in. And just for listening to the show, writing your reviews on the Apple app, and just being willing to make your own U-turns. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.